In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed feast to everyone. This day is a great joy to us. All Orthodox Christians throughout the world celebrate this ancient feast. We know as Orthodox Christians we have these four ancient fasting times. These times to rededicate ourselves to being healed by Christ in the hospital of the Church. The greatest being Great and Holy Lent, before Pascha, Easter, the Nativity fast for the Lord's birth and Christmas, the Panagias fast, the fast of the Mother of God and Dormition, the first 2 weeks of August, and this fast, the fast of the Holy Apostles, which is sometimes very short, very long, depending upon when Easter falls. And this is special for us, especially in this parish, because our patrons are, these heavenly patrons are ours. This fast is ours, especially, and these saints are ours. When by the Holy Spirit, our bishop gave us the name of this church 30 years ago, this is the 30th anniversary of our parish this year, that they would be the heavenly protectors among the myriad others who would help us to the kingdom of God. The day we're born is no accident. Nothing is by accident or by luck. There's only the providence of God who numbers the hairs in our heads. It's no accident how we ended up in this church tonight, how we became, by the grace of God, Orthodox Christians are becoming. And it's no accident the name we're given. And the name we're given as Christians individually, and the name our parish is given. So we celebrate this on June 29th, the Holy Apostles Peter and Paul together, because Holy Tradition says they were martyred together on this day. First, I want to read from you from the prologue of St. Nikolai about their life. Many people, I find, don't know much about their life. And how do we know about the lives of the apostles? Not just from the scriptures, but from the tradition of the church. You might say tradition, yes. The church came before the Bible. The Bible came from the church, right? There's always been the church, the body of Christ. So the services of the church, her traditions, her holy writings are just as authoritative for us as the Holy Scripture. So we know much. When I became Orthodox Christian, I realized how little I knew about the saints and the apostles. The holy apostle Peter was the son of Jonah and the brother of Andrew the first called, the tribe of Simeon and the town of Bethsaida. He was a fisherman and was first called Simon. And we know our Lord was pleased to call him Kephas, or Peter, the rock. He was the first of the disciples to give clear expression to his faith with those beautiful words, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," who confessed our Lord, the God-man. His love for the Lord was so strong, and his faith in him went from strength to strength. But when the Lord was put on trial, Peter denied him three times. But it needed only one look into the face of the Lord, and Peter's soul was filled with shame and repentance. This week one, after the descent of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost, became a fearless and powerful preacher, of the Holy Spirit. After his first sermon in Jerusalem, we know on the day of Pentecost, over 3,000 souls were converted to the Christian faith. He went on and preached the gospel throughout Palestine, Asia Minor, Italy, Illyria. Amazing, with no car. By his feet, by the grace of God. He performed so many wonders and miracles, healing the sick, raising the dead. And even his shadow, as we know from the book of Acts, had the power of healing the sick. Don't be surprised when holy icons heal you. Don't be surprised when holy oil heals you. We're surprised by this in our very worldly, you know, materialistic society. Spirituality is up here, material stuff's here. No, everything has a spiritual aspect, even physical things. Bread and wine become the body and blood of Christ tonight in this holy liturgy. By blessing oil, it heals people. Even the shadow of sinful Peter. Remember how sinful Peter was? His shadow alone could raise the dead. Imagine the power of the saints, those people who are humble Christians. He had a major struggle with Simon the magician, who declared himself to be from God but was actually a servant of the devil. He finally put him to shame and overcame him. Peter was condemned to death on the order of the wicked emperor Nero, a friend of Simon's. After installing St. Linus as Bishop of Rome to go after him, and exhorting and encouraging the flock of Christ, Peter went to his death with joy. Radiant joy, the fathers say. When he saw the cross before him, he asked the executioner to crucify him upside down. Why? Because he felt himself unworthy to die in the same way as his Lord. How beautiful is that? And so this great servant of the greatest master went to his Lord and received his rest and a crown of eternal glory. We also commemorate such a different saint on the same day, The Holy Apostle Paul, they're shown embracing often next to each other, close. St. Paul, very different life. He was born in Tarsus, the tribe of Benjamin, a Jew of Jews. He was formerly called Saul and was a wicked persecutor of Christians. A disciple of Gamaliel, the great teacher of the Jews. He was a Pharisee and he hated Christians. He persecuted them with all of his being. And yet the Lord is calling every human soul, converted him wondrously to the faith as he was on the road to Damascus to persecute Christians, fell off of his horse in an amazing experience. By the grace of God, he was baptized by the holy and beautiful apostle Ananias and went from being the great persecutor to being the great apostle. When you see the word apostle, apostolos, apostol in Slavonic, no one asks which apostle do you mean. In every Orthodox country, you say the apostle, they know it's St. Paul, that's how great he is. He preached the gospel everywhere with burning zeal, never lukewarm, from the borders of Arabia to the land of Spain, among the Jews and the heathen and the pagans, every person that would listen. And he was given the great name apostle to the Gentiles, this Jew. His fearful sufferings, St. Nikolai says, were matched only by his superhuman endurance. Throughout all the years of his preaching, he hung from day to day like a thread between life and death. It's funny when Protestants take out of context St. Paul and say, oh, by faith only you're saved, by grace only. No works, don't do any works. Give me a break. This man did nothing but work. It's only by the grace of God we're saved. But the whole idea of faith and works, it's nonsense in the Orthodox Church. It was never an issue in the early church. If you have faith, you'll naturally have works. And if you have works, an outpouring of faith, we're not saving ourselves. God saves us. But a person who is saved by Christ will stop at nothing to repent and to save others. It's so funny, people can say, well, I'm already saved, I just believe in him, I don't do anything for that. And St. Paul hung between life and death constantly, doing plenty, working at his salvation in fear and trembling, as our Lord commands, filling his days and nights with toil and suffering for Christ, organizing the church in many places and reaching an incredibly high place of perfection. He was able to say, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me, that great line. He was beheaded in Rome in the reign of Nero at the same time as St. Peter. So these two very different saints are honored on this day together. They're often seen embracing each other. They were so different. You know, from the book of Acts, they disagreed. They had a fight. The church, we don't have a pope in the Orthodox Church. We have conciliarity in council to come together, and where two or three are gathered, all the councils say it seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit. And so they came together and they disagreed about how do we approach the Gentiles? They disagreed. It said he rebuked him to his face. It says face to face. And yet they humbled themselves to each other and became great people of love. St. Paul was working incredible miracles. What did he do? He came to humble himself to the apostles in Jerusalem and to check himself with them. We never trust ourselves in Orthodox. We never Yahoo is in Orthodox. We never say, I had an incredible revelation and I know better than everybody else. How dangerous, prelest, delusion. The great saints are humble and check themselves with the truth all the time. With each other, these great saints. So far from fighting, they're shown linked together. We could speak all night about just one of their lives. How inspiring it is for us in this 2018. How can their life help us? I want to point out just a few things that really I think are powerful. And very, I guess, heartening to me. First, they're incredibly different. And I think that's why the church honors them in this way. They could not be any different. St. Peter, he's a Jew, but he doesn't know his faith very well. He's illiterate by all accounts. He's a fisherman, very simple, from not the high class. And he was impetuous. We know his character. He was, when he sees the Lord, he puts his clothes on and jumps into the sea. He had such great love for the Lord. And yet, he was overzealous often, right? He was the one who would say, Lord, I'll never betray you. I'll never betray you, ever. For the cock crows, you'll betray me. And of course, he did. And the fathers say, worse than Judas. Unlike Judas, he simply looked at Christ and he wept. And he went out and it says, and he wept bitterly. He repented. He didn't say, I can't change. Life's impossible. That's the that's the sin against the Holy Spirit that can never be forgiven the Lord speaks about, is despair and saying the Holy Spirit, God can't forgive you. Saint Peter trusted God and repented, and he became the greatest of apostles. I don't know about you, but I'm encouraged by that, because he was very human. We laugh as Orthodox Christians at that the Roman Catholic would say that there's the infallibility, and that it's based on who? The most fallible apostle. Right? The one who made plenty of mistakes. So if the Pope is infallible, you know, that's kind of funny, right? I mean, when he speaks as Pope, St. Peter was very fallible. No, every man is fallible, in fact, except for the Lord Christ. Even the saints made mistakes, right? And we need each other in that way. But he went to be, look at the day of Pentecost. Do you see Peter there at the cross? No, he fled like everybody else, like a wimp. Only St. John, the beloved, and the women has always stayed. And yet, the Lord didn't give up on them, and they didn't give up on him, and what happened? He went from being a wimp, a fearful, betraying wimp, to one of the greatest disciples, who on the first day of receiving the Holy Spirit, he was so bold. This Jesus, who you killed, is God. How'd they respond to people? Oh, he's being so mean to us, he's being so harsh. 3,000 people converted. And thousands and hundreds of thousands because of his ministry. Incredible. That's really heartening to me, because I can see myself in Peter in many ways. Maybe you're not like that. Maybe you're more like St. Paul. Totally different. Brilliant mind. Far from illiterate. Brilliant. An intellectual. Could pride himself on that. Fierce love of his nation. Fierce love of the Jews. And he hated Christians because they were polluting the purity of the faith. Right? I can speak to many of us. Right? Who are these Xenia? Who are these, you know, go to a Greek church? Who are these non-Greeks coming in here? Go to a Russian church. I was once asked one time at a monastery. I went in and said, are you Russian? No. Are you Greek? What are you doing here? What? That's not the Orthodox way, by any means. Right? By any means. St. Paul, St. Peter, so different. And St. Paul, look how God worked on him. People come to faith sometimes very gently and very, I can't in my own life pinpoint a time when all of a sudden I started believing in God. I believed in him since the day I can remember. I struggle with it. And I don't remember the day I became an Orthodox Christian. I just remember all of a sudden I believed this with all my heart and I would give my life for it. But I can't pinpoint a moment. People are very different. I know many priests and lay people that can remember the moment, the day an amazing miracle happened. Like St. Paul. We're so different. And I think we often think we have to be cookie cutters in the spiritual life. Priests have to be like another priest. There's similarities. We're baptized. We all go to confession. We all fast, God willing. But God doesn't want cookie cutters. He doesn't want like, you know, robots. He wants each person. Right? Saint talks about in the book of Revelation how in the end, every person will be given a new name on a white rock. God wants each of us to be new. Yes, I took Saint Justin as my patron saint, but he wants me to be different than Saint Justin. All the differences in my personality, devoid of sin, that's the personality of a saint. That's what God wants from each of us. And I'm very encouraged by the fact that, you know, I meet many priests and go, gosh, they're so much smarter than me. But I'm not going to despair, because that, my walk is different. I look and listen to Father Athanasio's chant and go, that's never going to be me. I'm not going to despair, because my walk is different. I can glorify God in that person's talents. Mine's going to be different. And I think all too often spirituality is relegated to a certain socioeconomic status, or if you're, you know, you're rich, you're white, you're black, you're here or there. Christ in the church is for every single person everywhere. Not just people that read books in college. Simple people, illiterate people, every human soul is seeking Christ. That's so encouraging to me. I think the church holds them up to say, you know what? People have told me, hey, Father, I hear your sermons. I'm not like all these new people who are so excited. I've been Orthodox my whole life. It's different for all of us. How you apply it, what zeal looks like to me, to Zacchaeus, to a mom with kids, is going to look different. But it's no less glorious. Right? They betrayed God terribly. St. Paul killed Christians. He held the coats of the Jews as St. Stephen was being stoned. We know that. The great St. Stephen, he helped in his murder. But God forgave him. He became a great apostle. And he can forgive us after our murderous thoughts and our murderous acts. I'm very encouraged by that, and I hope you would be too. And it really speaks to our missionary work here in Utah. You know, this is one of the richest mission fields in the world. We've been looking at building our new church down south and looking at property the past couple of weeks. I have met so many new people down in Utah County who are just out of nowhere come talk to me. They're desperate to know God. They want to know Christ. They're seeking. I mean, I was like, mob, multiple times. It's odd. And yet it's not, because this world is broken and dying, and they want it. Isn't it beautiful that God wants them too? Every single place. The gospel isn't just for Russia or Greece or Great. It's for Utah, right? I was offered to go to some other places, more missionary. No greater mission field in America, I would say, than here in Utah. People who are moral. They believe in God. They believe in holy families. They have this beautiful skeleton with the flesh of the living faith, the flesh of the living church, the true church of Christ. Imagine what saints God can raise up here. Not we're all saints, but holy saints, like our saints that we know. Another really heartening thing for me was how utterly different they were after their conversion. This is a mark of all the saints. And I feel like I struggle with this personally. They were utterly changed the day they became Christians and the Holy Spirit came upon them. Right? The day that St. Peter was given the Holy Spirit, he went from being a wimp to a lion preaching to 3,000 in different languages, from a wimp to going over the whole known world, even his shadow healing people. Right? How did that happen? He was totally devoted to his Lord. And he knew he was a sinner and he needed God. He knew he couldn't go back to the old way of living. Couldn't go back to his nets. Couldn't go back to the old way. He had to be utterly different, and everything was. St. Paul, the same. After that fall off his horse, he didn't go back like a dog to his vomit, back to his old life. His whole life utterly changed forever. Radically. And people think, you know, Father Justin's a fundamentalist. He says, I am a radical. Because Jesus was a radical. I'm sick of this secularism, this worldly Christianity, this comfortable Christianity. There's no such thing. You heard the life. St. Paul constant on the edge of life and death and suffering, but joyful. St. Peter, watching the whole known world, who went to his death joyfully, crucified upside down because he had so much humility. This weak one. It's amazing. If they can do it, we can do it. But it's a disservice for someone to lie to you about the path. The path is thorny. They did have some suffering. But what was the key to enduring it? They promised God after their baptism, after their entrance with the Holy Spirit, I will never be the same. And they arranged their life accordingly. So I would ask you to do the same. Maybe that's hard for you. Maybe you're baptized as a child and you have a worldly life. Stop it. I'm not saying quit your job and I'll go to monasteries. No. By the way, if you're not married, you should consider going to a monastery. There's no greater life in this world. They pray for us while the world is sleeping. They're praying for the world. But let's say most of us are married. And we live in the world. We have jobs. I'm not saying to leave them. I'm not saying to be a weirdo. I'm saying to make everything you do be touched by this place. By the life in Christ. How you, when you get up in the morning, don't do your stupid worldly sins. Begin a new habit of prayer. Go to your icons every morning. Oh, it's hard. Yeah, it's hard. You think it wasn't hard for St. Peter to change his whole life? It was very hard. St. Paul to go back to his ways? It wasn't like automatic. They had to fight. But how could they do it? Because they kept Christ right here. You know what happened in St. Peter's life when he was walking on water? He walked on water, the sinful man. A great miracle. As long as his eyes were on Christ. The second he took his eyes off of Christ and looked to the waves and the cares of this world, he sunk. And that's us. As long as our eyes are on Christ, we're praying our morning, evening prayers. We're saying the Jesus prayer throughout the day. We're keeping the fast. This place, these people, these saints, your Christ, your dear Christ, is the center of everything you do. You think about Him when you wake up in the morning first. You think about Him when you bless your kids. You think about Him when you get in the car to go to work. You think about Him when you eat your food. You think about Him when you put your clothes on. You think about Him when you're having a hard time at work or school. You think about Him when you're sad. You think about Him when you have a blessing. You think about Him driving home. You think about Him over dinner. You think about Him when you're in the hospital. He's always on your mind because He's the source of your joy all the time. You don't have to be a special saint for this. It just takes effort. Effort. It's not natural for a husband and wife to have a great marriage. If you're married, you know that. Go with how it, just swing it and see how it goes. Terribly. Effort. Her life's more important than mine. Darn, I'm going to give. If you do, joy. Great marriage. Same with our Lord. I'm going to make Him everything to me. Everything. And then He'll become everything to you. I mean, it's absolutely the way the saints lived. It's not radical. And a lot of people don't want to hear this. They want to come to church, light a candle, do their thing, and go back to their worldly, comfortable life. If the saints had done that, they would have been depressed and not healed, not bringing thousands to the faith. You might say, oh, come on, Father Justin, I'm just a normal person. Come on, give me a break. That's a cop-out. I say that all the time. Imagine if the saints had that attitude. There'd be no saints. There'd be no glory. There'd be no saints to make you cry when you hear their life so beautiful. But they are a sign that sanctity is possible. Sanctity isn't just for other people. All these saints in the walls were like you, running late today, having a hard day at work or school today, had a fight with your spouse today, had a fight with your kids. You did a bad job fasting today. You're depressed about your job. You don't know where you're going to live. You don't like who you are. You don't like how you look. You think that's unique? You think you're unique? All of us are in pain, and we're all suffering and struggling. And it's so miserable when you don't lay it all before Him at every moment. But when you do, that's how you become a saint. Slowly, by constantly putting everything in front of Him. By having a spiritual father. Spiritual fathers in different monasteries. Having a priest that you bear your soul to help you when you get down. St. Paul talked about the athletic race. He said, you have many teachers, but you have one Father, for I have begotten you in the gospel. That's your spiritual father. You may have many priests to go to. You have one person in this world, one priest who is your God, who helps you in this life. My spiritual father is the greatest blessing of my life. He saved me in my life. And I have a couple of them who are very dear to me, who have saved me when I don't want to trust myself. Oh, you've been a priest 10 years. Who cares? We're all sinners. It's a great joy. Spiritual, holy saints had holy saints they followed as well. That's a key. So let us, maybe one thing can take away from today, let us dedicate ourselves to a spiritual father. Maybe the one in our parish here or somewhere else in a monastery, whoever. But be accountable and have a coach in the spiritual life so we're not winging it. Because it's hard to put Him in everything. When I first started, I remember, how do I do this? I'm so distracted. Father, I don't know what I'm doing. When I was a layman, how do I pray? I'm bad at fasting. How do I live my family and they're not Orthodox? What do I do? And He helped me through every little piece and taught me how to live the Christian life. So I could try to keep Him more and more in front of me, even though I don't. And the last thing I want to speak about is they suffered. This life has suffering. Terrible suffering. People are suffering terrible. People are so crazy on drugs and addicted to video games. And outside the church, inside the church, we're all ravaged. And we're suffering. We're going to suffer. The Lord says, in the world, you will have tribulation. But don't worry, I've overcome the world. But the question is, we're still miserable because why? Because it hasn't been overcome in us. And it can be. And that's a terrible tragedy that you could be the most joyful person, a never depressed person, a light to everyone, and it has everything to do with how we approach Christ and approach the church. Well, I'm suffering, Father. Join the club. We bought the terrible lie that if we're good people, whatever that means, we're not. No, there's no one good. The Lord Himself says no one is good, only God is good. You think you're good? That's the first sign you're in trouble. All the saints out there, they were the worst. They were the worst among sinners, and God elevated them. We're going to have sufferings. St. Paul, constantly suffering, beaten, imprisoned. St. Peter, lots of beatings, lots of terrible things, and ultimately a death. We go, that's depressing. But look at the result. They suffered tons compared to most of us, and they were full of radiant joy. They were sharing joy, walking to their deaths. And we stub our toe. We have one bad day. Some person doesn't like us. We didn't become the person we thought that we were going to be. And we're depressed. Much less suffering than them. Why? Because we all bought the lie that if we're good people, if we go to church, if we try, then we should have perfect lives with no problems. Do not believe that lie. All the saints had trouble. The Lord chastises whom He loves. You're going to have pain in this life. And there's one question. Are you going to trust God as He's in charge and transform that pain and serve others and trust Him? If you do, you'll find joy. You'll find joy. If you don't, you'll always be miserable. Always seeking perfect comfort. Doesn't exist in this world, brothers and sisters. As one saint of Optina said, there is no place in this world free of sufferings. Only one place. You know where it is? The heart. The heart. That's the only place where nothing can get you. That's why St. Paul says, what can separate us from the love of Christ? Can anything, can suffering, persecution, death? Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. But who are we kidding? One person is cutting us off in traffic separates us from the love of Christ. Because we're weak. Because we don't radically love Him. We haven't decided to serve Him with all of our being. I beg all of you today who are here. Many of you Orthodox your whole lives. Many of you recently Orthodox. Many of you on your path. Maybe many of you don't even know you're going to be Orthodox yet. But the Lord is calling you to a radically changed life. Maybe the same job, same family, but utterly different way of approaching it. Of total love. Of loving everyone more than yourselves. Of loving Christ more than your pillow in the morning. Loving Christ in fasting more than your burger, which you can have on Saturday. Right? Loving, just saying, I'm going to live differently. But Father Justin, I don't know how to do it. Help me. We're happy to help you. It's our joy, Father Paul and I, to help you. And any priest to help you on this path. It's our greatest joy to guide you through this. We all stink at it. We're all sinners. We're all very different in this community, especially. Like Saints Peter and Paul, very different. The Lord calls us to the same sanctification. Let us really labor in this. Let's beg Saints Peter and Paul for something concrete. When you go to the icon today, kiss the icon. Please, God, in the prayers of Saints Peter and Paul, help me to love you more than ever. Help me to, we say in the liturgy, let me commit myself and my brother and sister, each other, and all my life, every aspect of it, unto Christ our God. And if we do this, it's not weirdo, it's not extremist, it's not fundamentalism. It's joy. And you can have cancer, and you can have affliction, and you can walk through it joyfully, just like the sinful St. Peter did. Eventually, his shadow healed. Imagine what a little repentance from us would do. And what a little dedication would do for us. It would do wonders for us. It'll transform your family, transform your workplace, and this valley is seeking God. And thousands of people will become Orthodox Christians. Not because of me, I'm one man, or two priests. Because you are a repentant person being healed by Christ in the church. Brothers and sisters, don't settle for anything less. Right? Sanctity and holiness is attainable. And the greatest, the only truly depressing thing in this life is that you would sell yourself short and think this life was for eating, drinking, pooping, repeat. Like a dog. To live like a dog when God has made you to be kings and queens of His creation. May we strive, however sinful we are, from this day, as St. Herman said, from this day, from this hour, from this minute, to strive to love Christ and keep His commandments. And to find that place of the heart. The kingdom of heaven is within you. It's not somewhere you float away to when you die. You can taste it now. But none of us are in this heart, are we? We're out here watching TV, on the internet. St. Peter and Paul weren't doing that, right? They were distracted with people in prisons. They went to the only safe place. The only place that no one can plunder. If all your happiness is in your house and your house is taken, you're in trouble. If all your happiness is in your beautiful family, I have a beautiful family. I feel so blessed. They could be taken from me in a heartbeat. Am I going to fall apart? Is that what true strength is? Only Christ can't be taken from you. And He's in the heart. The kingdom of heaven within you. Go there, brothers and sisters. Go there in prayer every day. Push the world and the nonsense out. That's what Saints Peter and Paul did. You know how they did it? Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Every moment, every second, the Jesus prayer is an apostolic prayer. And they took time every day to be with Christ. That's the last thing I would say. All this is impossible if you don't believe it. If you don't believe it, if you're going through the motions, Orthodox Christian, it's miserable. Fasting is miserable. Don't even bother, dare I say. But hope against hope, this crazy world, don't believe this atheistic world say, I believe that the kingdom of God is real. I believe Christ is right there. Why do we get weak in our faith? Because He's not in your heart yet. You haven't tasted and seen the Lord is good. You have little bites like we're going to have in liturgy and Holy Communion. If you pray and you make everything, your prayers will go from hassle, I'm tired, I don't want to do this, I guess I'm Orthodox, I'll do this. It'll go from, you'll stand there and you'll struggle and you'll pray and you get up in the morning and you'll say the Jesus prayer quietly and next thing you know, you're gone. You're gone. You don't know whether you're in heaven or on earth and you feel like the kingdom of God has already come. We don't seek those states, but those will come if you're serious. And then at that point, you don't wonder if God exists anymore. You don't wonder, I hope He does, because you start to know Him. Am I sinful idiot self? I've been blessed to have those experiences, and I still am weak sometimes, which breaks my heart, because I have no doubts. I have no single doubt that the living God exists, and yet I still forget to pray to Him sometimes. And that breaks my heart and motivates me. I want to be a person of the heart.
I want each of you to be a person of a heart. I want to create in you a faith like Saints Peter and Paul that, you know what? Put us in a prison camp. We're going to have joy. Put us in a beautiful banquet tonight after the service. We're going to have joy too, right? But nothing can take your faith. We don't have wine, we have water, we're happy. We don't have beautiful food, we have, you know, gruel, we're happy. We have nothing, we're happy. This is a life that no one can steal from your brothers and sisters, even the great death, which is coming for all of us. In Christ, it's been swallowed up. My prayer is that all of us, through the ascetical life, through this beautiful church, which I love with all my being, each of you so dearly, that each of us lives it more deeply today in the prayers of Saints Peter and Paul, more ascetically, more sacrificially. And we know we're just idiots, making a beginning. And I promise you that your life will never be the same. Let's promise Him today, I will never be the same, Lord, in this way. And you will see that He will do incredible things with us in spite of our wretchedness. May God help us in these holy saints, in the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.